This is my first time speaking in front of a large group, so please bear with me. I'm going over the second saying of Jesus while he hung on the cross. And what he said in Luke 23:43, truly I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. To give a little background, I'm going to start in verse 39. Jesus has already been beaten. He's been nailed to the cross with two other criminals. Two other gospels record that the criminals and everyone else was mocking Jesus and, you know, saying, if you're God, save yourself, save us also. I'm going to start in verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly for what we're getting our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. There's two questions I'd like to ask tonight. Is that, one, what is paradise? Seems like a simple question. Number two is, are you sure that you're going there when you die? To answer the first question, paradise, the word paradise in the New Testament is only used three times. This is the first time it's used with Jesus on the cross. The second time it is used in 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing a letter to the Corinthians, and he's telling them about a man that he knew who had died and had gone to paradise. And some people think this is Paul, but I'm going to read you the verse here. It's 2 Corinthians 12:3-4. And Paul says, I know of this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I don't know, but God knows. He was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that a man is not permitted to tell. Now, what some people believe here is when Paul was sharing the gospel in a little town called Lystra, that the people there, they stoned him. They didn't like what he had to say. So they, as someone says, they rocked him to sleep. They threw rocks at him until he didn't move anymore. Yep. They took his body, threw him outside the city, and they left him there. Paul's friends come around, other Christians come around to see him, and he lays there. And then what do you know? He gets right back up. And he walks back into the city to keep sharing the gospel again. Now, that probably scared everyone in the city, because I don't know of any people getting up from stonings. That's, yeah. But this little verse here, many people think this is Paul writing that he went up there and he saw heaven. The next time the word paradise is used, it's in Revelation 2:7, it's Jesus who's speaking. And Jesus says, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And when you think about it, as you read through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, besides Jesus being the main focus from Genesis to Revelation, it's also, the Bible talks about our relationship with God. How we relate to God, how God relates to us. How we walk in fellowship with God. And have you ever asked the question, why am I even here? Why did God make this little speck of dust in the universe, going around a sun at about 10,000 miles an hour, and we're on here and as far as we know, there's no sign of life anywhere else. It's just us. Well, God gives us a little glimpse of why. In Isaiah 43:7, he says, everyone who's called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. God made us for his glory. God wants us to praise him. And of course, some people think, oh God, how arrogant can you be? You want us to kneel down and pray to you. Why? Well, because God deserves it. He's perfect. You know, we don't bow and pray to anybody else here because they don't deserve it. They're fallen people. God is the perfect being. And he made us to worship him and for him to have fellowship with us. He walked with Adam in the Garden of Eden when he made him, when everything was perfect. After God made everything, he said, this is good. So this is what God's heart is for, fellowship with us. Because when you think about heaven, or you think about paradise, what makes paradise paradise? It's God. And when Jesus says to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise, paradise is not the word you should be focusing on. You should be focusing on with me. Because you always want to be where Jesus is. Because where Jesus is not where you want to be. Jesus is who you want to be with. There's a little description of paradise in Revelation 4:8. John is writing, there's four living creatures, each of them with six wings, full of eyes all around and within. And day and night, they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And it sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Who was and is to come. So there's angels that God has created for a specific purpose. Day and night, they sit there and they just say those words. That's it. That's all they do. They have six wings and they're covered with eyes, which would really freak my wife out because she hates eyeballs. She hates eyeballs. But I don't think she'd mind too much in heaven. So, but why do these angels do this? Well, for one, God made them and they serve a purpose. But someone once explained one time when you're in heaven, of course, they don't know what heaven's like, but they're trying to give an explanation to our limited minds. In heaven, God the Father is on his throne. God the Father is an eternal being. We can't comprehend anything like that. Some people say these angels, as they circle and they see God, is that every time they look at God, they see something new that they've never seen before. And for us, in our finite minds, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And think of it, for eternity, we as believers get to be with God in his presence and to share eternity with him. No more sorrow, suffering. The only life we know here, we're born into it. We know pain, we know suffering, but one day there will be no more suffering, no more pain. And this is what we have to look forward to. And my second question is, are you going to go to paradise when you leave here? When your eyes close for the final time, will they open and see Jesus or will they not? Now, some people believe there are many different places we go to after we die. But Jesus himself said there's only two. I'm going to read you a little story that Jesus told that I don't believe is a parable. I think is a true story due to the fact that he named somebody in this story. In the parables, nobody has a name. Jesus is giving parables for an example. But I believe this story is a true story. It's a story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. I'm going to read you the story. It's a short story. There was a rich man who dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angel carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in some water to cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between you and us there is a great chasm, so no one from here can go there, no one from where you are can come here. So he answered Abraham and said, Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. So basically, Abraham's telling them, they have a Bible. All the words, God's words in there, that's all they need. But the rich man says, No, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. And this is shocking. And he said to them, If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. Now this is out of Jesus' own mouth. He's sharing the story. We as people are wicked. We're fallen. There's some of you here who don't know Jesus. There are some of you who do know Jesus. But those of you who don't know Jesus, Jesus calls you to repent of your sins. It's changing your mind, getting your mindset off of the world, getting your mindset off of sin and turning away from that and putting your trust in Christ. It's the only way to avoid the sentence that the rich man received. You notice the rich man in Hades, he never once repented of his sins while he was there. He didn't say, Father Abraham, or God, I'm sorry for what I did. He didn't. He was there. That was it for him. He didn't care about that. But here, while you are alive, you have the chance. God brought you here tonight to hear the seven sayings of Jesus. If this is the only time you come to church, great. No, but please, please, you need to change your life. Well, only Christ can change your life. He has to change your heart. But you need to repent of your sins and come to him and put your faith in him. He's the only one who can save you. You're not guaranteed 5 minutes from now. you're not guaranteed 30 seconds from now. Any of us could just keel over and die. Where will you be? And last, I'd like to share with you Titus 3, 4 through 7. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. By the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That thief on the cross, Jesus told him, you'll be with me. His life was a wreck. His life was a wreck, was a waste. He was dying as a thief. He was crucified too. Now imagine that. You've gotten beaten, nailed to two pieces of wood. There's a nail through both of your feet. And the only way you can breathe is pushing up through the nail to breathe. And then you got to sag back down again. Jesus, out of the three, died first. The thief's day was not over yet. Because what did he get for living longer? He got his legs broken. A few hours later, to die quicker. Now imagine that, getting your legs broken. And still, you can't push up, you just slowly suffocate. But he knew that when he closed his eyes, he'd be with Jesus.
Thank you for listening. For more information, visit us at nwcc777.com.